Praise the Lord. It is a joy to be here, and I do say Happy Mother's Day. And I called my mother this morning, even called my mother-in-law. And that's something, isn't it? And I even wished her a Happy Mother's Day. And my mother is in Muskogee, Oklahoma, Chakota, outside of Muskogee. She had a stroke on Christmas Day about 8 years ago, and she's had several since. And so she's bedridden and on a feeding tube. And my oldest brother takes care of her. My father went home to be with the Lord on Mother's Day last year. And so we were out in Oklahoma on Mother's Day last year. It's the first time my wife's been with all three of our daughters on Mother's Day, on Mother's Day all together. And so that was kind of a blessing. And my dad had leukemia. We found it out about 4 weeks before he passed away. And he was 89 years of age, still had 410 acres and a bunch of cattle, and took care of it every day, 89 years of age, run a bush hog. And just my mom at that point was in a wheelchair. He'd twice a day put her in a car and take her to town just to get her out of the house. And so that's a blessing. I thank God for my heritage and for my mother. And she can understand what you're saying. You can't understand what she's saying, but she tries to get it out. But she understands, and she'll laugh. And, of course, I'm still her favorite. And that's just a given. And we come from a pretty good-sized family. My mom had 12 children. And seven of us made adulthood, and eight was the most living at one time. They lost several children along the way and such, but I'm just thankful for the family. Didn't grow up in a Christian home. They ended up getting saved and such, which is a blessing. And but God's good, isn't he? Thank God for family. That was a good idea. Family was a good idea. Thank God for my mother and for each of you that hold that role of mother as well. Enjoyed that special, and looking forward to the week. I plan on being here every night. And so I trust you are too, you know. I trust you are too. The preacher made the statement, he's prayed harder for this meeting than any. I hear that a lot when I go preach somewhere, that they say we're praying harder for this meeting than any others. And I understand that. I really do. But I appreciate your pastor and your work here as well. Appreciate each of you being out this morning. And good to see the couple here from Romania. That's a blessing. How long have you been in the States? 8 months. Wow. Was it a shock to your system? A little bit? Yeah. I've got a good friend that married a woman from Romania. And so we talk a lot about that. But good to have you here today. Good to see everybody. 1 Samuel chapter 2 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 2 in the Old Testament. I want to take a look at some verses this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And beginning in verse number 18. We'll back up, look at a few other verses. But this, of course, Hannah had prayed for a child, and God had blessed her with Samuel, which means asked of the Lord. He was what we asked for, what God gave to us. And such, she talks a little bit about him here as a young man ministering before the Lord, and then we'll look at some other verses as well. But 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning verse number 18, when you find it, if you'll stand with us a little bit, give you an opportunity to stretch before the three-hour message this morning, and I'm just kidding. Matter of fact, I don't know much, so it doesn't take me long to say it, okay? We don't be here long. But I tell you what helps, when you amen, I cut the message in half. Oh, wow. No, I say when you amen, I cut the message in half. Amen. That's okay. And with a hallelujah, I cut it down even more. Hallelujah. Yeah. And when somebody really gets excited and goes, woo, it's really short. All right, let's dismiss in prayer. And 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 18. The Bible says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege we have to be gathered in your house this morning. And dear God, we mean that from the depth of our soul. What an honor, what a blessing, a privilege to be in your house with your people. Father, we thank you for Calvary Baptist Church here. We thank you for the dear man of God that you've placed behind this pulpit, his dear wife and their family. And God, we pray that we might be a blessing to them this week. God, we thank you for the people that you've given to them. And we pray, and also this week, we might be a blessing and a help to them. God, we don't know the needs that might be here, but you do. So I pray you'd help us, God, to even say things that would meet needs we didn't even know existed. Dear God, that you remove from our mind and heart anything that ought not be said. We certainly don't want to be a hindrance in any way. So we yield to ourselves to the best we know how. We'd be the first to admit how desperately we need you. And so, God, I pray you give us liberty. I pray you give us clarity of thought, scripture recall, illustrations, anything that might be a help. And, Father, we pray as we deal with this subject this morning that you speak to all of our hearts. Do that work only you can. I pray this morning might be a life-changing morning for somebody. God, maybe somebody never been saved, doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven. That this might be the day they get that settled. Then, Father, maybe somebody been saved, drifted from you. It'd be a good day to come back home. Meet with us today. Meet every need, every heart and life. We'll certainly take time and give you the praise for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Hannah is a very unique individual in the Bible, and that is Samuel's mother. Matter of fact, Hannah, if you go back to chapter number 1, Hannah was a woman who prayed. Matter of fact, verse number 9, the Bible says Hannah, of course, had no child and wanted a child. And verse number 9 said, so Hannah rose up after they'd eaten in Shiloh and after they'd drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured up my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for the daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went in her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And she rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son. She called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Hannah was a woman that knew what it was to pray. She had a great need within her life. And matter of fact, the Bible said she was in bitterness of soul as she would cry it out. I think of this often as I read the text that she prayed in her heart, but her mouth moved. And you find that a lot with mothers sometimes. They'll be thinking and their mouth is moving. And even when they feed their baby, if you notice that, when they take the spoon and put it to the baby's mouth, mama's mouth always opens when the baby's mouth should open. And he watched as her mouth was moving and thought she drunk. Of course, she says, no, don't think that I'm that type of woman. I'm in bitterness of soul. She said, I've got a need and I've taken it to the Lord. Hannah was a woman that knew what it was to pray. By the way, that's a good thing to do, to know what it is to take things to the Lord in prayer. I remember there's an old song used to be sung, If I Could Hear My Mama Pray Again, was the name of the song. And it talked about the memories of a child, of hearing mama as she'd open the Bible and sing the old songs. And then as mama would pray with the family and with the children and sweet memories that were there. I think today probably the song would be, If I Could Have Just Heard My Mama Pray. And it's kind of missing in families today. But Hannah was a woman that prayed and took her need to the Lord, and God answered her prayer. Matter of fact, she rejoiced before the child was ever born, just assured that God had heard her prayer and was going to answer her prayer. She also was a woman who knew what it was to praise the Lord. Matter of fact, the Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 1, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Hannah knew what it was to praise the Lord as well. By the way, these are two good qualities. If we would, every time we have a need, take it to the Lord. And I think we're living in a day when we quit casting our cares and we've gone to posting our problems online instead. But we take things to the Lord, and then if we would be a people that knew what it was to praise him, to give him thanks, and to be a grateful people, God's been good to us. I mean, the fact we get to live here in this country, God's been good to us. I've said often, I've got the best of both worlds. I get to live in America while I'm here on earth, and I get to go to heaven when it's all said and done. I've got the best of both worlds. God's been good to us. And but she's a woman that prayed, and a woman that knew what it was to praise the Lord. And Hannah prospered. Matter of fact, Hannah had a good life. If you were to look at Hannah probably as a lady today, you'd probably look at Hannah and think, boy, that's what I would want in my life. Hannah had a husband that loved her. Matter of fact, God had blessed her in many ways. If you go back to chapter 1 in verse number 5, it says, but unto Hannah he gave, they're talking about her husband, a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. It was an obvious thing that he loved her. I mean, that's a good thing in a marriage, to love one another, is it not? That's a good thing. I love my wife. I'm so thankful for her. And a little bit of our testimony, I wasn't brought up in church, never owned a Bible growing up. And my wife and I got married at a young age. I was like 12 and she was 10. You can do that in Arkansas, you know. And somebody said, how'd you meet? We met on the internet, ancestry.com. And I thought, well, we've got so much in common, why not, you know. Now, we weren't that young, but we were young. And young enough, we needed her parents' signature to get married. And such, we got married at a young age. My wife was a third-generation Mormon. I didn't go to church, never owned a Bible, claimed to be an atheist during my teen years. And I don't think such a thing really exists, because God has written his law in our hearts. Everybody knows there's a God and such. But we run off to get married. And after just a couple years, we ended up separated and parted ways. And she'd come back to Illinois, where she was from. And I was out in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and things. And she'd made a profession, was going to get baptized. And they invited me to watch her get baptized. And I drove from Muskogee, Oklahoma to Danvers, Illinois to watch her get baptized on that day. Matter of fact, I got thrown in jail in Missouri on the way there. That's where I first met your pastor. But we'll leave that one alone. But I remember going to church that day and sitting there in the pew, and they baptized at the start of the service, and they baptized her. And the whole time I'm wondering, what am I even doing here? Why am I even here? I mean, we're at the point we don't even like each other. And there's phases you go through in your marriage. You get to where you want it to work, but you know it can't go on the way that it is. And then you get to where you don't know if you want it to work or not. One day you do, and the next day you don't. And then you get to where you don't care if it works. If we stay together, fine. If we don't, fine. Then you get to where you don't want it to work. It was absolutely done. Had enough. And my wife and I were there. And God still took our home, put it back together again. And she got baptized that day, and I was so low, she fell down the steps into the basement after getting baptized. I didn't even get up and check on her. And I sat there even wondering what I'm doing here, and then the preacher got up and preached. And I realized on that day I was without Christ. And if I'd have died, I'd have gone to hell. And I don't remember how I come to the altar. I just knew I had to get there. I don't know if I preached. I don't know if I ran. I don't know if I walked. I don't know if I climbed over pews. I just knew that's what I needed. Jesus, I'd heard, had died for me, and he would forgive my sins. That's what I needed. And I just knew it. So I come to the altar that day, asked God to save me, and he did. And you talk about a burden lifted. I was so happy that day. I kissed my mother-in-law. We know that's not normal. And then God began to work on our heart to put our home back together again, our marriage back together again. And I remember coming to the altar and saying, God, I don't know how to do this. I've made a mess of things, and you've got to help me. I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a daddy, and you've got to help me. And he began to work within our hearts. And my mother-in-law gave me a little New Testament, first portion of scripture I owned in my life. Then the next Father's Day, June that next year on Father's Day, my wife gave me the greatest tool any man could ever have to fix any problem within his home. She gave me my first whole Bible on the Father's Day that year. And then now God has put within our heart a love for one another. You know, it's a good thing when you love each other. And matter of fact, we sometimes, you know, I love her. I'll kiss her goodbye. I'll kiss her hello. I'll kiss her just 'cause. And I'll make up reasons to kiss her. And And we get in an elevator. We stay at home to get in the elevator. That door shuts. I'm kissing mama. I'm just the way it is. And when other people get on the elevator with us, I kind of go, So I wait till they push the floor. I'll push the next one, even if we're not on that floor. And I'll stay on there till we're alone and kiss mama. And every time I kind of walk toward her and she'll just kind of look down. She'll start smiling just a little bit. I know she likes it. And she'll start smiling a little bit. And I said, come on, you know what's coming. And come to Papa, you know. And she told me one time, she said, you know, they got cameras in those elevators. I said, well, they're getting a shot because I'm kissing mama. And it's a wonderful thing when that love is there. And she had a husband that loved her. And it was an obvious thing that he loved her. We were at Branson. We'd like to go there. And we were at the Silver Dollar City. And I think in watching, one of the programs that were there. And after it was all over, there's a woman behind us that tapped us on the shoulder. And we turned around and she said, I think it's just wonderful the way you two love each other. And I'm thinking to myself, what we do? You know, I said, I don't think I kissed her when the lights were. I might have. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it ought to be that way. And Hannah had that. It was obvious she had a husband that had loved her. Matter of fact, she was without child and grieving over that. But he made the statement in verse 8 of chapter 1 that said, Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou and why eatest thou not and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? I mean, just made it known there was a great love they had one for another, and it's a great thing when you can have that. It's a good thing to love somebody, but it's a better thing when they love you back too. I still write my wife little notes now and then, you know, things like, I like you, do you like me? Circle one, yes or no. Now, just certain days I write that because some days I'm not sure what the answer might be. And she writes me notes back and forth. I'll always find them in my suitcase when I'm by myself or the briefcase. I'll open up the laptop, there'll be a sticky note on it, you know, kisses from your sugar booger, you know, or something like that. It's a wonderful thing, but God blessed her, and she had that. She also had children that served the Lord. Matter of fact, God gave Samuel to her, and they were blessed even with others. But you find in chapter 2 and verse number 11, Elkanah went to Ramah's house, and the Lord and the child did minister to the Lord before Eli the priest. And I mean, their children served the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. I think every mother would want that. I think every lady would want a relationship with a husband that there's love there, and everything is just, man, it's obvious that you love each other. And then to see your children loving God and serving the Lord, I think every mother would want that. And then you look at Hannah and you think, man, God has blessed her and she's got a good life. And he served even in the midst of wicked people. Verse 12, the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Even in the midst of others that weren't serving, her children were serving the Lord. And man, what a blessing that is. God's blessed us with 6 children. And we had one when we separated. And our oldest was a daughter, and she was 9 months of age when we parted ways. And God put our home back together again and then blessed us with 5 more children. And our oldest daughter lives out in Oklahoma. And then our oldest son, which is Tom, he pastors a church in North Liberty, Iowa. And then we got a son, Jerry. Yeah, we got Tom and Jerry. I always wonder what kind of parents did things like that to their kids. But it was Thomas, Maurice, Gerald, David. Didn't think anything of it till we're in the hospital. And our nephew comes up and says, hey, you got Tom and Jerry. And it's wonderful. Our son, Jerry, he pastors a church in Florence, Alabama. And then our daughter Sarah married a fella, got saved under our ministry, and he started a church in Eureka, Illinois. Been there about 8 years now. And then our daughter Emily and her husband serve in Conway, Arkansas in a church. And our youngest son Noah is on staff with us up there. And it's a wonderful thing when you see your children serving the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. And Hannah had that. And you look at the life of Hannah and you think, well, this is great. And then God gave other children to them as well. And in fact, verse 20 of chapter 2, Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went to their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. And so God had blessed them with other children as well. And Others looking on would think, man, this is a great thing. You look at verse 18, Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. And of course, that linen ephod is used often speaking of the subject of prayer. Often when David wanted to inquire of the Lord, he'd ask for the ephod to be brought, and it talked about prayer. And so it's talking about, here's a young child, he's learning to pray, and he's ministering to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to see that in his life. But I want to draw your attention this morning to verse number 19. In the midst of all this, the Bible says in verse 19, Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, which he came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. That little word, moreover, that's stuck in there, it means beyond what has just been said. He said, here's something you need to be aware of. Matter of fact, you look at her and how she prays and how she praises, and you look at the relationship she has with her husband, and you look at the impact upon their children, and you look at that and say, well, that's just wonderful. And Samuel's ministering before the Lord, being a child, and he's girded in an ephod. He's learning to pray along the way. And in the midst of all this, the Bible then says, moreover. He said, I want to draw your attention to something. This is beyond what's already been said and stated. This is something you need to be aware of. Matter of fact, this just might be the key. This just might be what caused everything else to come together like it did. This might have something to do with why the marriage relationship is what it is. This may have something to do with the fact of why her child is serving the Lord. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat. And the Bible says she made one every year and brought it to him. Every year she'd come with this coat that she'd made and present it to him. And the coat is a covering, and the word that's used here for coat is also translated mantle. And Samuel became known for the man that wore the coat or the mantle. This was an impact his mother had on his life. Matter of fact, when he was talking to Saul, and Saul had rebelled and not been obedient to the Lord, and just partial obedience, and when he wouldn't admit it, he blamed others, and then he blamed peer pressure. And when Samuel turned away, Saul grabbed his coat and he ripped it. And when he did, it so affected Samuel that he turned around and says, God's going to rip the kingdom from your hands. And that's a coat his mama made. Matter of fact, when Saul went to the witch of Endor and was trying to bring back Samuel, when she had seen him and she describes him as an old man covered in a mantle. He became known for the man that had that coat. And it all started as a young boy, as his mother, year by year, would make that coat for him. I want to center on that section. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat. The word moreover, so Metzger says, this you need to take heed to. This is very vital. On top of all that's been said, this seems to be the key to what's taking place. Let me give you about 400 things concerning that. That's not really. Y'all look nervous when I say that. Honestly, I won't be long. Honestly, it'll just seem like it. No. At our place, I'll say something like, I'd like to preach for the next 3 hours, and visitors will chuckle, and our people will go, don't encourage him, he can do it. They just get to, every once in a while, they'll say, Pharaoh, let my people go. You know, things like that. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat. I want to look at several things here within this. We see her labor in this little coat. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat. There's labor put in this thing. There's time put in this thing. Could I say, if you're going to have a good marriage, it's going to take some labor, some time investment. If you're going to see your children, it's going to take some time and some labor and some investment. There's a lot of labor that mama puts in the home. And a lot of this that she's doing, Samuel is actually at the house of the Lord, and she's at home. A lot of this is behind the scenes that he doesn't even see. but it's for him. I can see her as she's home and she's making that little coat. It's amazing it says little coat because it's just his size. No doubt every year it got a little bigger. Every year a little more work involved. It's kind of easy when they're little, isn't it? Just kind of look at them and you just love them. They'll spit up all over you. You still love them. They'll do other things all over you. And you still love them. There's labor in this coat. And no doubt as she spent time on this coat, and because she was a praying woman, no doubt she's praying for him. No doubt as she's working on this little coat, she's saying, "Dear God, you blessed me with a little boy, and dear God, there's many that are going another direction, and I don't want to see that in my little boy. Dear God, I'm asking you, please get his heart. Build a hedge about him, protect him." Matter of fact, this little coat, a coat is for protection, a coat is for covering, and she's covering him in prayer. Boy, help this generation of young people that's growing up without the prayers of mama and daddy praying for them. I remember bringing the children home from the hospital one by one and laying them within the crib. And our firstborn, we weren't saved. We didn't know anything about that. But from there on out, when they're born, we place them within the crib. And I remember just looking over them and thinking, "God, you've given us a child. And boy, I'm asking you to protect them and build a hedge about them and watch over them, protect their hearts. And don't let the devil get to them. And don't let the wicked one draw them off track. But God, keep their eyes and their heart turned to you and bathe in that thing in prayer." And it takes work and it takes effort. And a lot of this behind the scenes, but it's all for him. And no doubt she's praying, "Dear God, help me to be the mama that I need to be in the life of my boys." I remember, like I said, coming to the altar, "God, I don't know how to be a husband. I made a mess of things, and I don't know how to be a daddy, and I've made a mess of things. I don't know how to do this. You teach me." And you know, I wasn't brought up in a home that was real affectionate. Never heard the words, "I love you," growing up. I'm not saying my parents didn't love me. If you'd asked me, I'd have said, yes, they do. There was just no emotion shown. There was no hug that took place, maybe a headlock once in a while from one of my brothers, but there were no "I love yous" and things of that matter. And I remember the first time I went to my wife's home and visited there with her parents, and I remember sitting there at the table at night, and her youngest son, her youngest brother, would get up and walk around and kiss. He's 14 years of age, and he kissed his dad on the cheek and said, "Good night, Dad, love you." And I'm thinking, wow. And then he went over to his mother and kissed her on the cheek, said, "Good night, Mom, love you." And it just floored me. I'd never seen anything like that. They were Mormon and such, but I still had never seen anything like that with a home and affection. And I could do one of two things. I could either say, "God, that's just not me. I'm just not me. It's not the way I was made. I didn't come from that type of family." Or I could say, "Dear God, change me. Help me to be what I need to be, and help me to be what my family needs me to be." And no doubt during this time, as Hannah is making this little coat, she's making preparation. "God, help me to be the mama I need to be for this boy you've given to me. And God, help me to be the wife I need to be to this husband that you've given to me." And no doubt she's spending time, this labor, no doubt time in the Bible. "God, help me to be, speak to my heart. Help me to be what I need to be." By the way, that's a pretty good thing for all of us to do, to take time and say, "God, help me to be the husband I need to be, or the wife I need to be, or the daddy I need to be, or the mama I need to be." There's labor put in this thing. We see her love in this little coat. The Bible says not only she made him little coat, but she brought it to him year by year. She brought it to him. This is now time they spend together. There's love in this little coat. This is time together. This is personal time. This is now time of teaching him. This is time of talking to him. This is time of instructing him. No doubt this was precious time that they spent together. She says, "I've got something for you. I've made this just for you." And she takes that coat to wrap him in that little coat, and she's teaching him and she's training him. The Bible said a child left to himself causes his mother shame. We need some more mamas and daddies today that will train up a child the way that they should go, that will bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But you see, the mama's love as she now spends the time, and this is time they spend together. As our children were growing up, there were times I'd take my daughters out on dates, and there's time my wife would take our sons out on dates, and we got one son lives close enough still that he'll still call and say, I won't take mama out on a date. And I said, you know, she's married now, right? You know, she's got a husband. And he said, I know that, but you eat too much. And so I just won't spend this time with mama. And that's quite all right with me. And I remember the first time, preacher, I took my daughter out on a date. We went to a restaurant, and I ordered a cheeseburger, and I cut it in half. And then I got a milkshake, and I put two straws in it. And I set it there, and she's looking at this thing cut in half, and I'm thinking, this is really going to be sweet, sharing this thing together. And she said, we're sharing this because we don't have much money, huh? So I had to explain, no, this is a date. This is what... She said, well, I can eat my own cheeseburger, you know, all by myself. This is a time of teaching. It's time of talking. This is a time of getting his heart. We see her love in this little coat. She didn't just send it to him. She brought it to him. And they spent some time together. Did you know if you'll be their parent now, you can be their buddy later? Yeah. But right now, they don't need another friend. They need a daddy and they need a mama. Third thing I see, we see her life in this little coat. The Bible said that she, Moreover's mother, made him a little coat, brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband. We see her life in this little coat. This was a year by year thing. You know what we're seeing in her? Consistency. You know what we're seeing in her? Faithfulness. Year by year, she was faithful to this. He knew it was coming. That's just the way mama did it. And year by year, she was faithful. She was faithful as a mother. She was faithful as a wife. The Bible says she'd come up with her husband. She was faithful as a Christian in her prayers and her praise. And he saw this faithfulness within her life. Her life is seen in this little coat. What are you doing? I'm making a coat for my boy. He needs to be protected. He needs to be covered. I'm just making a coat. And you see her faithfulness in this. Year by year, her consistency. And as we mentioned, her husband loved her and she loved him. And there's a relationship built there. There's a relationship built with the children. And her whole life was one of being consistent, being faithful. And could I say, we also see her Lord in this little coat. The Bible said, Moreover's mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. You know where she was going year by year? Back to the house of God. And everything about her home is centered around the house of God. You know, my wife and I, when we got saved and determined that God wanted our home to be back together, and so we asked him to begin to work in our heart, put a love one for another, and now this last January, we just celebrated 43 years together. And I know for a guy that's only 45 years old, that's it's a long time. But no, 43 years, I've been married to her 43 years. She's been married to me 43 years. That's 86 years altogether. We've been married one to another. And she probably feels like it's been 86 years. But 43 years we've been married one to another. But you know one thing we did when we got saved? We decided to center everything in our home around the house of God. When God had saved us and made a difference, our family was centered around the house of God. And in this little coat, you see her Lord every year. You know what she's giving to him? At the house of God. Their marriage, their home, everything is centered around the house of God because it's God that makes a difference in our life and it's God that makes a difference in our home. And the day that I got saved was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And then determining to center our life in the house of God. Our children never had to ask, are we going to church today? No. We centered our life around the house of God. And if there was something going on in church, we were there. Yeah, we were there. Matter of fact, after what I got saved, I showed up to a ladies' meeting three times before I realized it was just for the women. It's because church had something going on. I mean, I was wondering where everybody else was. She is faithful to offer sacrifices year by year. And of course, the Old Testament had to offer sacrifices. We get New Testament, Jesus is our sacrifice. And our life is centered around him. She was faithful, and as a result, her God became Samuel's God. There come a time in 1 Samuel 3, a day when God began to speak to Samuel's heart. And he listened. He became known for his prayer life. Matter of fact, they would come to him and beg him, pray for us. This is happening, that's happening. He became known as a man that would pray. And the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 7 that he served the Lord all the days of his life. And I think every mama would want that. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. But it all started when, moreover, his mother made him a little coat. Brought it to him year by year with her husband. Could I tell you a tragedy though? Took to chapter 8 if you would. Samuel had a mama that invested in him, and what a difference it made within the home. And we need some mamas that'll spend some time praying. What are you doing? I'm making a coat for my son and my daughter. We need some mamas that will spend time with them. What are you doing? I'm making a coat for my son and my daughter. We need some mamas that will be faithful in their relationship with their husbands and faithful being a mama and their heart towards home. What are you doing? I'm making a coat for my children. And some mamas that center their life around God and the will of God. There's a great tragedy. Though Samuel received much from his mother, he failed to pass it down to his children. Look at chapter 8 with me. The Bible says, it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel. That's a good name. The name Joel means Jehovah is his God. The name of his second, Abiah. That's a good name too. It means a worshiper. They were judges in Beersheba. Now Beersheba was in the southern border. It was very remote from their home in Ramah, where Samuel did most of his judging and his traveling. They were cut off from any kind of family influence at all. Verse 3, now his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Instead of God becoming their God, money became their God. You say, what happened? In 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 28, Joel, which means Jehovah is his God, is called Vashni. The name Vashni is taken from a word which means to hedge about or to cover as a coat. It's taken from that word, but it means weak. It means he had a weak covering. There was nobody took the time to make a coat for him. Matter of fact, his mama is never even mentioned. You know what we need today on Mother's Day? Some mamas that will take the labor and the love and spend their life building coats for their children. I'm not talking about physical coats. I'm talking about to protect them from the enemy. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about being faithful. I'm talking about being an example. that one day your children might come to know the Lord. The greatest thing that could ever happen is for them to come know Christ and serve Him. I talk about not being brought up in a Christian home, and my wife was raised Mormon. They had a religion, but they didn't know Christ. Her grandmother had gotten cancer. She was just in her 50s, but had gotten cancer. And my wife had a cousin that rode a church bus to a Baptist church in Danvers, Illinois. I told her children's church pastor about her grandmother with cancer, and he told the pastor, and the pastor went to visit. Ended up winning my wife's grandmother to the Lord. They saw a big difference in her. She had been afraid of dying, and all of a sudden, there's no fear anymore. Everything's okay. She passed away. They had this preacher do the funeral. Then he began to follow up on the family members. My mother-in-law and father-in-law had gotten 50 acres, and they were clearing it. And he went to where they were and went out to where they were clearing it and talked to them about Christ. And both of them trusted Christ as their Savior right there on that spot. In fact, later on when they went to drill a well and a lot of people were coming and said, I'll tell you how to find water. My father-in-law said, well, let's just drill it right there where we got the living water. And they drilled a well at the spot they got saved and they hit water and it never did run dry. They began right away kneeling across their bed as brand new Christians and joining hands would tell us later, begin to pray for my wife and I. God would save us. When we parted, she went back home, made a profession. She's getting baptized. They invited me. I come to watch her. And on that day, God did a wonderful thing. If you're here today and you don't know for sure heaven's your home, let Him do that for you today. Because He'll begin. I cannot explain to you what He did in my heart, what He did in my life, what He's done in my home. And then to center your life around Him. If you do know Him as your Savior, why don't you determine to center your life around Him? It's a good life. It really is a good life. Father, thank You again for the day that You've given to us. And thank You for Your Bible. What an amazing, amazing book. It sure convicts my heart. It feeds my soul. And Father, this morning to start off the meeting, we kind of just want to take a little time and talk about mothers on this being Mother's Day. And Father, I pray that You'd raise up some ladies who would understand this is the most important role in their life. And being so that they'd understand how desperately we need You to help us to fulfill that role. And by the same token, we pray for the men in the room today, just as vital to see some godly fathers and godly men, and that we might determine to let You have control of our life as well. Father, You bless today. Help us to be the moreover mothers and the moreover fathers and the moreover grandparents that make a difference in the life of someone else. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I want to ask you some questions this morning. I want you to be honest with me and honest with yourself and honest with God. I wonder how many in this room, by uplifted hand, not by saying a thing, but with nobody looking around, just by uplifted hand, would say, Brother Moore, if I was to die right now, I know for sure I would go to heaven. Now, wait a minute. I'm not asking if you hope so or think so or you want to. I'm saying, do you know for sure you would? Somebody said, well, nobody can know that. 1 John chapter 5 says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. God's written some things so you can know it. I'm not asked if you've been baptized. Peter says baptism does not put away the filth of the flesh. It doesn't wash away a single sin. It's the answer of a good conscience towards God. It's what y'all do after you get saved. But it doesn't wash away a single sin. I'm not asked if you believe that there is a God. Book of James says even the devil believes that and he trembles. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what I'm asking. Have you been born again? Do you know for sure heaven's your home? I wonder how many would say, I know that for sure. No doubt about it. If I died, heaven's my home. Would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? No one looking around. God bless you. You can put them down. Some couldn't raise your hand, and I appreciate your honesty. Would you do something this morning? Would you let this preacher pray for you? I'm not going to call you out by name. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that on purpose for anything in this world. But I would like to pray for you. You say, preacher, I could not raise my hand a while ago, or maybe I did, but the truth is, I do not know for sure that I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you please pray for me? No one looking around. Would you just slip your hand up high enough that we might see it? Pray for me. I do not know I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. Would you pray for me? God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you back there. Anyone else before we pray? God bless you. Anyone else? Pray for me. I do not know I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you please pray for me? Maybe some this morning say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but also I'm not what I need to be as a Christian. Would you pray for me that God would help me to get my life back on track like it ought to be? Could we see your hands this morning? God bless you, several across the room. I wonder how many mamas this morning would say, preacher, I don't know about anyone else, but I kind of needed that. Sometimes we get sidetracked or forget about all that's needed to invest within our children. I needed that this morning. Would you pray with me and pray for me that God will help me to be a moreover mother? One that will pray for my children and build relationship with my husband and be what I need to be. Would you pray for me? Could we see your hands this morning? God bless you. Maybe some men along the same way, though it's primarily to women. We need it too, to be what we need to be. As a man, preacher, I want you to pray for me. God will help me to be what I need to be as a husband and as a father and as a Christian. Could we see your hands this morning? God bless you. Father, we've seen hands across the room. You've seen beyond that. You've seen hearts. You know the life. Certainly nothing hid from you. And God, we're asking, please, that you'd meet every need today. We pray the best we know how. God, for those that raise their hand, they don't know, they'll go to heaven. Help them to come and get it settled. Some for didn't raise their hand. I pray you'd work in their heart, convict their heart, that they might turn from sin and trust you. And God, some that said they know they're saved, but not what they need to be, help them to come this morning. And God, I pray for every mother, every father, every husband, every wife, maybe to come together to an altar and join hands and ask God to help us to be what we need to be. You bless this morning. And we'll give you the praise for all that you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Head still bowed for just a moment. I want us, the pastor, come up front, if you would, please.